Welcome to the Trade Show Podcast, the home for conversations with global leaders in the trade show and events business. Our show will bring you face to face with experts who speak about the possibilities and trajectories of this $50 billion industry. I'm your host, Shubhanjan Sarkar, founder of PitchLink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make conversion easy. Welcome to the fifth episode of the Trade Show Podcast. Today we have with us Marsha Flanagan, the President and CEO of the International Association of Exhibitions and Events, IAEE.
Some people see AI as a disruptor. I think of AI as an enhancer. I think it's going to be a continued tool that is a must-have. It's going to impact and already is impacting in great ways marketing teams, design teams, education teams as it relates to content building. I think when embraced properly and safely, it definitely enhances your workflow. It promotes, I think, process improvement. It just really helps to work, I think, smarter and not harder.
Marsha Flanagan is the President and CEO of the International Association of Exhibitions and Events. As IAEE's president, Flanagan is responsible for the management of the organization's full-time professional staff, leading business development, directing fundraising efforts, advocating for the industry and the organization's members, providing organizational leadership and strategic counsel to the board. Also, she serves as the association's representative with industry coalitions, partner organizations, and strategic alliances. Prior to joining IAEE, Flanagan was the Director of Content Strategy and Development at the Promotional Products Association International, where she was responsible for steering strategy and the development and delivery of all professional development and editorial offerings. She spent 6 years in the medical industry, serving in various roles, overseeing operations, purchasing, revenue cycle management, marketing, and business development. Marsha began her career with Meeting Professionals International and spent 12 years in various roles, including Executive Vice President of Professional Development. She was named one of the 25 most influential people in the meetings industry by Successful Meetings in 2017 and named to the Biz Bash inaugural Top 500 in the events industry in 2018 and 2019. In 2021, she was listed in Meetings Today as a 2021 trendsetter. She also obtained her GBAC Trained Technician Certificate of Completion from the Global Biorisk Advisory Council, a division of ISSA, in 2021. Flanagan received her bachelor's degree from Texas Christian University and her master's in education from the University of Arkansas, specializing in meeting tourism and recreation management. She obtained her certified in exhibition management designation in 2021. Marsha is a fifth-generation Texan, loves sports and the outdoors, and spending time with family. Now, on to this insightful episode with Marsha Flanagan. Marsha, welcome to the Trade Show Podcast. I am really very, very happy to have you on the show because you have a very long association with the industry. And you are looking at it from a unique vantage point from IAEE, and now you are running it. So I'm really, really, really excited to have this chat. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's dive in. So to start with, where do you see the original mandate of IAEE and where it is headed, given where we see the trade show industry, trade show and events industry headed? Where do you see it going as an organization and the priorities that you see vis-a-vis the requirements that your members are expressing to you?
Well, we, IAEE is a trade association, and our members are those who either produce trade shows or supply the services for those trade shows. We have members in 50 countries, and we've got about 10,000 individual members representing 1,500 companies. Post-COVID, we saw a major drop, obviously, in membership, employees, and things are slowly coming back. Some countries have bounced back a lot quicker than other countries. I've traveled throughout Asia over the last few months, and it's amazing how things have come back so quickly. I know just even economically, we, in the United States, the latest data shows that we've contributed just over $90 billion to the U.S. economy, which is up over about $78 billion this time last year. We're still recovering. Our economist says full recovery for our industry is really not until now, first quarter of 2026. So there's still time needed for companies to heal and to implement some tactics and such to help their shows grow. We just produced SEER, which is the Center for Exhibition Industry Research, just came out with some new research on how exhibitors can attract those attendees to their booths and engage with them. And we're seeing the need from all of our members to just help their shows grow, deal with workforce development issues, navigate the sustainability piece and such. So there's a lot of moving parts. I just kind of mentioned a lot of things that we're working on for our members.
If you compare it to pre-COVID, say 2019, and if you compare where we are today, according to you, you should be able to go back to the 2019 level in 2026. Is that what you're saying?
Not quite yet, but most are hoping for that by 2025. So there are a number of shows that we've seen that have already recovered. Some of those large shows have already recovered. Some of the mid-sized, smaller shows have not yet gotten back to pre-COVID numbers.
So is it because the industries that they serve, they're not yet up to speed? Or is it because the attendees are not yet wanting to come out and participate? What's the cause, really?
Well, it's a couple of things. I think first, it is industry specific. So if you look at the various industry sectors, some have recovered much more than others. I think those shows that are very transactional in nature, the ones that are very product focused, have come back. I mean, people want to see, feel, touch those products. The service industries are struggling a bit. I also think cost and inflation are still a factor in determining whether or not you can travel to a show. And then even some of it have implemented carbon travel credits. And so many companies are limiting the number of people that are even able to travel if airfare is actually a necessary part of that attendance.
That's true. That's true. So there are multiple contributing factors which are restricting both the exhibitors and the attendees to come and participate, especially if it involves travel. So the big hubs are getting impacted.
I think so. And, it's been hard post-COVID too. Many employees, I think, are working still remotely. And the choice to remain remotely is strong. And at some points in time, it's really difficult for people to really want to go somewhere and do business at some points in time. They've seen digital take over and meetings can take place digitally. And there's unique marketing methods to implement. But I still feel like face-to-face will always remain the single most important way to do business. So it's just time and inflation, I think.
Yeah. So just before we come back to the economics situation globally, it is nothing unique to one particular country, I think, at this point at least.
What are your thoughts and what do you hear from your from the organizers about hybrid events? Because that's what really came out, supposed to be the solution and supposed to be that everybody would go hybrid and everybody would go online and so on. What do you really hear from them? What are their thoughts about digital and physical or being hybrid or being digital only and so on?
I don't think our industry quite figured out what digital means and what a hybrid event can do for a company's bottom line. I think it really depends, again, on the industry sector. We've seen it work so well on the medical side, especially as it relates to education and training. It's been a great tool to use to be able to train doctors and nurses who can't travel. Again, on the education side, very, very impactful. I'm just not so sure you can really produce a true hybrid or digital trade show for those who really want to see and touch those products.
Yeah, and in some cases, when we are, especially when you're looking at manufacturing or agriculture and sectors like these, which have really large machines to show people what the capabilities are and so on.
Exactly.
Obviously, the digital bit doesn't really work there. So you're absolutely bang on that education and maybe educational conferences kind of setups could work pretty well in a digital mode. But for the rest of it, it's becoming a challenge. So which sectors do you think are actually bouncing back faster than others?
You know, I'm waiting on the latest data to kind of show us. I know retail's been lagging behind. Manufacturing is coming back quite nicely. We are due to receive those Q2 results soon. So it will be interesting to see the latest data.
Okay, so when do you think that data will be available?
Hopefully in the next couple of weeks. Happy to follow up with you on that data. So
yeah, that would be lovely. Actually, we should really talk about which are the sectors which are seeing growth back and sort of leveling up, and what their learnings are and why are they able to do that. I mean, obviously there are extraneous factors like the economy, inflation, and so on, which is real,
right?
And this is not a trivial expense. I mean, participating in a trade show is not a trivial expense. I mean, okay, if you're traveling, fine. If you're an attendee, I think still manageable. But if you are setting up a booth, the need for ROI becomes very, very strong. And it's a mix of many factors. So talking of that, what are you hearing from the second most critical component of the ecosystem, which is the exhibitors? What is their sentiment currently? What do you hear from them?
Well, we're continuing to hear the need to demonstrate exhibitor ROI, definitely. And the recent SEER data shows that actually one of the tactics that's coming back is the need for exhibitor training. Due to COVID, many jobs were, as I mentioned, many jobs were changed or eliminated. New staff have been brought on. And so many people are exhibiting now that don't have that historical knowledge and are new to these companies and need that training necessary to be a successful exhibitor. That's one piece we're seeing. Another is, again, the continued cost. So how can the show organizers work with the exhibitors as it relates to cost savings? Sustainability, again, there are a number of tactics that exhibitors are being asked to follow by those show organizers to produce a more sustainable event. So that's created some extra activity on the side of the exhibitor. It's really, I think, the important thing that we need to stress is the overall partnership between a show organizer and an exhibitor, that both are set up for success. There has to be that relationship there, and through great communications, the use of technology tools that are out there to help exhibitors, and through training, I think that successful events can take place.
You touched upon quite a few things over there, so let's break them down. The first part is manpower crisis, yeah. which I guess is at two levels. One is at the companies themselves, which means when I say companies, I mean the exhibitors. Their internal challenges in terms of losing some of their people post-COVID and not having enough people to come and man the booth effectively. And there, the education is really internal. There is nothing much as an organizer one can do to train their people in their products and services. So it's an internal challenge that the exhibitors are possibly facing. However, there is a parallel part to it, which is the kind of temporary help that you used to hire at the booth. And what I hear is there also, there's significant shortage of people who actually understand how trade shows work. So a lot of them have moved on and gone into other businesses, because for 3 years, there was no, at least 2 years, there were no meaningful jobs available to them. What is the landscape looking like there, Marcia?
So I can tell you in the United States, we have not yet bounced back completely. I don't think that a majority of our companies are fully staffed again. Workforce development is one of the top priorities for IAEE. In fact, we're currently working with the Department of Labor to update the current existing competency model that actually has our industry listed as a sector, which includes all of the skills and knowledge and abilities to succeed in our career. There is a separate division of the Department of Labor that houses all of the jobs that one can go in as a career counselor at various academic levels and search for jobs and make those decisions as to career paths. And we're working with that group as well to be inserted into those discussions so that exhibitions are truly seen as a viable career path in the United States. And I'm excited about this project because it's been a long time coming. It's been 20 years of work to be formally recognized by the Department of Labor. And the beauty of the project is then that same model can be replicated with other governmental agencies around the world. So once we're recognized in the U.S., we can help lead the efforts in other countries. It's behind the scenes work. It's super necessary. Doesn't often seem like an impact to the general public, but it is great work that's happening. So I think it will make an impact long term, and hopefully the pipeline of new employees will happen. Or the good thing about the new employees we are seeing enter the workforce are, to your point, they're coming from other industries. They have new and fresh perspectives. I think it's creating a great culture of innovation, and that's what we need to succeed in the next 100 years.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the second part that I want to touch upon from your previous answer is about the use and impact of technology.
Yes.
What kind of technologies are you seeing being adopted, and where is technology really making the difference today?
Well, I think the top technology that's the talk of the town is really AI, and how is AI going to impact our industry? Some people see AI as a disruptor. I think of AI as an enhancer. I think it's going to be a continued tool that is a must-have. It's going to impact, and already is impacting in great ways, marketing teams, design teams, education teams as it relates to content building. I think when embraced properly and safely, it definitely enhances your workflow. It promotes, I think, process improvement. It just really helps to work I think smarter and not harder. And I don't yet know the impact long term on our industry. What I think is this will be a new technology will be, especially AI, will be a new skill set moving forward that is going to be a part of the tools needed for success.
Do you recall any specific tool that you are seeing who are actually impacting some of these areas that you just mentioned?
Well, I think a number of the different tools that we use as show organizers, whether it be registration tools, matchmaking tools, show apps, housing tools, they are all starting to implement AI as part of their process. And we're seeing a lot more chatbots, and whether they're part of your web page or whether they're part of your show app, obviously those are even more popular than before. Even down to, you know, taking minutes in meetings. There's so many AI tools now that are being used. Our team is using, gosh, at least, I don't know, 10, 12, 15, anything from copy AI, ChatGPT, to Fireflies for meeting minutes. The number of governance and committee meetings that are produced by IAEE. And in programs like this, podcasts and such, I mean, it's so great to be able to run these types of discussions through an AI process and then be able to break it down into content pieces that can live on. So I'm excited about the future of being able to use AI, actually.
It's time for a short break. Stay with us. After the break.
There is, in the U.S., a tool produced by SEER. It is called the Event Performance Analyzer. It is one a tool where you can go into this online portal and you can upload your show metrics, including net square footage of your show, number of attendees, exhibitors, your overall revenue, and it will tell you, based upon your industry sector, where your show is compared to others in the industry sector.
You are listening to a Bizcast Audio Original. Podcasting is one of the fastest growing content marketing avenues today. We can help you exploit this largely untapped marketing opportunity. We can craft your audio strategy and leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that smartphone penetration provides. It is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to target audiences. Welcome back. I'm Shubhanjan Sarkar, your host for the Trade Show podcast and founder of PitchLink, the visitor engagement platform. Let's dive right back into the episode.
We have to have clarity of vision, what it is actually going to do. So setting our expectation, understanding what it is able to do, and not sort of thinking AI is going to do everything to AI is going to enhance what I do. I think that clarity becomes very, very critical.
But I think, you know, it does go back to using AI safely and responsibly. There are a number of ways in which you can do that. And I think it's important to have those policies in place for your team to be able to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it is like, this is something completely new, right? So we don't have our heads completely wrapped up around what it can do. So we are sort of excited with the ChatGPTs of the world because it suddenly opens up opportunities that we never knew was possible. So there will be abuse, there will be some experimentations, but it will settle down as long as directionally our thought process sort of aligns with what where we want to go, which takes into account all these things that you mentioned, the, you know, concern about privacy, right kind of usage, and so on and so forth. So yeah, and it's a complex thing. It's not something like what we had. It's not, for instance, a tool like Grammarly, which will correct my grammar.
Right.
Although it can do that too. But that was very specific. So you knew it. That's all it was doing, right?
Right.
Now it does a lot more, and there are concerns of privacy about your content getting added to some public database and so on and so forth. So it's a complex scenario. It's not a one-line answer by any means.
No.
The third question, which I think comes out again, talking about what you mentioned, is the real value of a trade show or an event. I mean, if it is a sports or a music event, there the ROI for the investor, because there is no middle person, right? So there's the organization and there is the attendee. There is not really, I mean, there are vendors, but there are not someone who is doing something. So it's pretty good. I go to a Taylor Swift event. I enjoy, I come back. That's ROI is pretty cool, pretty straightforward. But when it comes to trade shows, which is essentially B2B, where I guess our focus is, there is a lack of clarity as to how one can get ROI. And what are your thoughts about that? And it becomes more critical because of the economic scenario,
right,
that we are talking about, inflation, cost, and so on and so forth. So what are your thoughts about that? How do you think exhibitors who are essentially funding the process, they are the source of the money, right? How do they get the best ROI for their investment? And what is the thought in the industry currently, in the organizer's mind, in the exhibitor's mind? What do you see there?
Well, so a couple of things. I think it's really important first as an organizer to really find out from your exhibitor what their goals and objectives are. It's different. Is it number of leads? Is it number of purchases? Is it, like, what are the objectives for that exhibitor? I think it is very important to share any information you can with your exhibitor. Back to the whole training piece. If there are tactics that we are seeing that our research is supporting as ones to implement for success, it is imperative that those exhibitors are trained properly. Again, you can't assume that all exhibitors are coming in understanding the tools available and how to use them. I think that is one thing. The other thing is, as it relates to the show organizer and the impact of their show, there is in the U.S. a tool produced by SEER. It is called the Event Performance Analyzer. It is one a tool where you can go into this online portal and you can upload your show metrics, including net square footage of your show, number of attendees, exhibitors, your overall revenue, and it will tell you, based upon your industry sector, where your show is compared to others in the industry sector. So you can see the performance over 10 years, how your show's been performing. A lot of people use these tools for benchmarking purposes, for strategic planning, where they see the trajectory of their show in the future. We're incorporating new metrics such as potentially NPS scores and things of the like, because there are more metrics being needed to prove the success of the show beyond just the size. Because we're also seeing data showing that the size of the booths are actually smaller. The purchase size of a booth is dwindled, but the amount of money being spent is more. So exhibitors are looking for activations, advertising. In fact, on-site signage and banners are the number one most preferred method of spending money right now outside the booth. So this is where it has to be a consultative process in meeting the needs of what the exhibitor wants. And I think a la carte sales approaches are very popular, as opposed to just a bundled one type of purchase. So a lot of moving parts there, but it's moving. I think the whole consulting piece is really, really, really key.
Would you elaborate a little more, because we don't get to talk about this much, and I know that you know a lot that is going on. So would you just go in a little more in the depth and talk about the tools, about the processes, about, you know, training the exhibitors about the tools and technologies and what else they can do. I would request you to do that.
Yeah, so I've seen organizers do a number of things. I've actually seen virtual training with the exhibitors through the technology providers. So partnering with the technology providers to provide virtual training, whether on demand or live, for the exhibitors on how to use the various tools that they may have access to. That's one thing that I've seen lately. I have seen chatbots specific to exhibitors, separate from those that are related to attendees. So instead of having one chatbot for all, there are now persona-based chatbots. So if your customer service level then is elevated for those exhibitors versus whose needs are separate, right, from an attendee. On the sales side, again, a lot of a la carte, pick and choose opportunities, bundling in a booth sale with sponsorship sales has been a trend. So, again, the booth sizes may be, we've seen shrink a bit, but the sales are larger. So it's important to have those packages, whether it be digital or on-site activations or advertising opportunities. So it's a lot of also beyond just that initial sale or of the booth space. It's the upsell process. It's the consulting process. It's a continued conversation between the sales team and the exhibitor as time evolves. It's also very important because SEER research is showing that something upwards of 80% of show registrations come in within 4 weeks of a show. And so that conversation with the exhibitors is very different. If they're looking to see who's registered for an event, they may not see that complete list until it's so very close to the execution of the event. So that is such a challenge for the show organizer for many other reasons. But it's been a trend we've seen that registrations do not come in until the last 4 weeks before the show.
Yeah, and you can imagine that because people are possibly putting off the decision of the spend till the last moment. And even the, you know, typical incentives of early bird pricing and stuff like that, people are not responding to it because it's okay, I'll spend $200 more, but I'll take that decision of the entire spend later. So putting that off, it becomes a natural thing. It's also, I guess, of how much each of the exhibitors are dependent upon the new attendees as against their existing pool. I mean, all said and done, they come for multiple reasons, and especially because in B2B, you cannot directly possibly draw a line between an exhibition connection and a sale. You cannot still do that because that, I hear, is a big challenge. I mean, you meet people and a lot of focus is around driving people to your booth through swag or through events or through things, but they may not be your target market at all. You may have a lot of people coming in who are not going to be your buyers. So this balance between the right people and many people is difficult to arrive, and most people are not able to put the finger on what is really the right spot.
I think pre-COVID, people love to see so many people on a show floor. Oh, it's a busy show floor. It was a productive show. It was amazing. I'll be back. I think the trend is, to your point, it's quality versus quantity. So the optics are very hard to manage. So while the show floor may not seem buzzing or busy, the right people are there. It's also important to to your point, if you bring in new attendees, whether it be the younger buyers, the potential buyers, the future buyers, that is also very important. And that's a different connection point, right? So educating the exhibitors on who is there, why it's important to communicate with those, whether they may not be a current buyer, they will be a buyer. I think that's a trend we've seen. And on the exhibitor side regarding new, you know, it's all about growth. How do you grow your show? How do you grow your exhibitors? And it's so important to take a look at your product mix. And, you know, growth may not necessarily come from your current group of exhibitors. You may have to completely go outside of your typical exhibitor to find a new revenue stream. It's just time to innovate and really dig in to see what your attendees are looking for. It's so important. You cannot build a show and expect people to come if it doesn't meet their needs.
Correct. And can you talk about a few good examples of what some organizers are doing very well towards this?
Well, I think a number of shows I have seen, I mean, they have created organizer personas. I mean, that's not a new tactic to create a persona, but really digging into finding out what they are looking for. A lot of questionnaires, a lot of customer service surveys, a lot of virtual conversations with their members, if it's B2B. And through just the use of data, it's using the member data you have. I think driving the point of data-driven events is something that we were talking about 5-10 years ago. How to use data, how to use data. Data is such an important tool that everyone has. If you're not looking at the data of who your members are or who you want your members to be, who your attendees are, or who you want your attendees to be, you're really missing the mark. So it's just using the data you have.
Do you think that the data capturing is organized enough today? Do we really have a process in place to, do most organizers have a process in place to collect the data which can actually be effectively analyzed for, I mean, you know that typical computer jargon, right? Like garbage in, garbage out. So you can put in a lot of data which is of not much relevance and you're not going to get anything useful out of it. So my question really is that, are we really in a position today to collect relevant data?
That's a good question. It's a complicated one because I know that for associations, you're collecting your member data, but during the registration process, you're collecting registration data. Sometimes the registration data doesn't match or is in integrated with the membership data. You know, integrations are so tough, and what data gets pulled over, what data doesn't get pulled over, who is ensuring the data matches. You've got data from your lead sales, you've got all these data points. So are companies really capturing it all, or are they capturing the right data at all, to your point? And I mean, I think there's a lot of data points that are not being captured that can be used more properly. But it's the whole integrations of all of the systems that are used, and how do you hone it in one area? And then once you do have all this data, sometimes it feels like, oh my goodness, I need a data analyst. This is way above, this is so much data, what do we do with it? So, and that's not something that many of the small to mid-sized shows have on their staff. You know, they don't have that data analyst. The larger shows absolutely have those people that can rely on the data. So that's a challenge for smaller association organizers.
Right. And possibly that's one place where the AI can help.
True.
Potentially. So if somebody develops a protocol or a engine which can actually ingest this data, sparse out the relevant ones, and then throw out some meaningful output, I think that could be one interesting thing, because then the cost will be something which smaller organizers can also. I mean, obviously, see, if you're a very large, if you're a CES, you can do 100 different things, right?
Right.
I had the opportunity of meeting Gary Shapiro long back in 2008, 2009. He's a great guy. I mean, he knows what he's doing, right? but having said that, there are only a few of that size or of that kind of brand where, you know, nothing impacts it, so to say. But for the most of us, I think that's a bigger, much, much bigger challenge. Coming to your expertise, I want to know, you have grown organizations, you know how difficult it is to have to run an organization like IAE, having people continue to remain within the organization. What do you see are the challenges in building something like, or growing something like, or sustaining something like IAE? What are your challenges, and what are you thinking of for the rest of this year and next?
Well, remaining relevant is a struggle for any nonprofit association. Really wanting to ensure that we meet the needs of our members is always top of mind. We've got a lot of things that we are working on behind the scenes to help with process efficiencies and such, so that our team can spend more time providing member value. And I think that's very, very important. And laser focus on a few key areas as well. So I know that we're in this transition period of respecting and honoring the past, but trying to build for the future beyond. For then we'll be turning 100 years old in a couple of years. And my goal is to really start to work on what can we do for that next generation. So with so many people retiring, and which it's happening, you can't not look on LinkedIn or another social media outlet and not see someone retiring. You know, how can we shape IAE to be that community for the next generation, and to have those educational tools and resources needed while still, you know, helping the companies at hand now, but again, building for the future. So that's what we're really working on, a new strategic plan that's going to build that bridge, help us remain relevant, grow, and look at new areas that maybe are being missed by our industry. But really being that trade association that promotes the unique value and advocates and educates is key for us.
Yeah, and absolutely. And as you mentioned earlier in this conversation, that the nature of, I mean, this really triggered from the point that you're saying a lot of people are retiring. The nature of the mix who are both organizing trade shows, participating in trade shows, and attending trade shows, it is now shifting from the boomers to the millennials, right?
Yeah.
And this generation has a very different, they're digital first. They have grown up in the internet era. Their whole approach to information is different. And we have to sort of, as organizations, gear up to be relevant to them, because they are going to be there for the next 30 years.
Right. Exactly. And that's the hard thing, because with the new generations coming on board, you know, the products and services you deliver, as you mentioned, you know, becomes more complicated, because instead of providing one learning environment, you need to have maybe three or four. Some people love live education. Some people love in-person training. Some people like on-demand. So you really have to see and hear and listen as to what your members are wanting, and move that direction.
PitchLink makes buying easy by enabling high-quality engagement between buyers and sellers. Through its presentation and discussion modules, sellers create customized sales narratives using sales collaterals and personal videos and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement process. PitchLink requires no installation or download, contains and manages the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversations. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without interruption. Connect with us on LinkedIn or visit tradeshowengage.com. That is tradeshowengage.com.
Before I let you go, anything you would like to talk about, which is sort of keeping you excited about the next phase?
You know, I'm just so very honored to be asked to lead IAE. I've been in this industry for 30 years. I mean, I grew up in this industry. I even have a degree in meeting management. This is the path I chose. I hope, you know, that I can be the servant leader that I have seen so many others be, that I see as mentors. You know, right now as a leader, I see the world as being so complicated, so divided. I mean, so many countries are going through elections. And I feel like, you know, people are very, they're on edge, they're stressed, there's so much change in their jobs and in their careers. I just hope to be the leader that can bring some sort of stability, hope, a bright light. I just want everyone to really find their place and purpose within their career path, because I have, and be able to share that journey and help the next generation. I really do. I just want everyone to remember, as difficult as the world may seem, you know, just being kind can make a difference.
That's such a nice note to end this chat. Marsha, this was wonderful. I really would like to come back to you once the numbers are out and talk to you about
what
that is saying. And I'll circle back to you. I will circle back for other things as well. I need to learn a lot. And I would like to also know how I can, for all practical purpose, I'm a nobody. What can I do for IAE?
Well, that's amazing. Once that data comes out, we can definitely have another conversation. With the data changing so quickly now and the industry recovering, I really want to provide the latest data. And
absolutely.
So just a few weeks out, we can definitely jump on another event.
Right. I'll be in touch. Maybe towards the end of August, I will sort of ping you. And then you'll be able to tell me when we can schedule, sometime in September maybe. And we will circle back. And I look forward to that conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming on the show. Thank you.
We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of episodes featuring great conversations on engaging your booth visitors and maximizing your ROI from your trade show investments. Subscribe in your favorite podcast app so you do not miss a single episode. Thanks for listening. Thank you for being with us today on the Trade Show Podcast, the podcast of record for the trade show and events industry. Here we talk to movers and shakers of the $50 billion trade show industry and identify ideas, challenges, tactics and strategies to leverage the first party intent inherent in the trade show business. We hope this conversation helped inform and motivate as we all navigate a rapidly changing business environment. For us, these are enlightening conversations enriched with knowledge and expertise. We encourage you to go out and implement some of the ideas we discussed today. We hope to have you with us again in the next exciting episode of the Trade Show Podcast. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platform like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast from, and give us a rating while you are at it. This is a BizCast original podcast and is produced for PitchLink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make buying easy. Hosted by Shubhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time and have a wonderful day.